And I will say tonight that this morning there was a young lady here. I think it's the first time. I'm pretty sure it's the first time she's ever been. But towards the end of the semester, last semester, she come to us, and Sister Jenny and I talked to her, and she made a profession of faith and come and so saw her in church this morning. That really blessed my heart. So her roommate brought her, and so let's pray for these that are trying to witness, trying to reach out, and it's just a great opportunity of ministry. So I wanted to mention that. That encouraged my heart today. Genesis chapter number 24. Now, if you don't know what this chapter in the Bible is about, I hope you will before we leave tonight, but it is a great, great chapter in the Bible. And I'm going to reminisce just a little bit before we get started tonight. Now, I might be wrong in how I'm remembering this, but years ago, before Noah was born. So if it's before Noah, he's 26, so 27, 28 years ago. And I was working at the college, and I worked with Preacher Morris Ward quite a bit. And he was very influential to me and encouraged me as a young preacher. Well, he started telling me about this preacher, Dr. Canoy, Brother Bill Canoy or William Canoy. And I think he's been here at Mount Lebanon. Do any of you remember Brother Canoy coming? Well, I think, this is a long time ago, but Brother Morris had encouraged me, said, you need to hear him preach. I think I came to Mount Lebanon along that time period, and Brother Canoy was here. If it wasn't him, it was another preacher visiting, but he had a message he preached out of Genesis chapter 24. And the name of that message was "The Camels Are Coming." Some of you might remember that. He put that into a book form. I've still got that book in my study today, but it's a great message. And I can't think about Genesis chapter number 24 without thinking about Brother Canoy preaching that message and what a impact that was on me at that time, because being a young person, being a young preacher, I remember him preaching on that and it just astounding me. Is that really in there? Does that really mean all that? Man, the Bible's great. The Bible's amazing. And it blessed my heart and encouraged me. Genesis chapter number 24 is where Abraham sends out his servant. Now, it doesn't say in Genesis chapter 24 what his servant's name is, but another place, a couple of chapters before this, his name, Abraham's servant, was Eliezer, which means God of help, and or helper of God. And everything in Genesis chapter number 24 is a picture of the church as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will explain that as we go. But Abraham sends out his servant, who is a type of the Holy Spirit, to find a bride for Isaac. Genesis chapter 24 and verse number 61, we come down to the end of this, and the servant has already gone out. He has found Rebekah in the land of their nativity. He goes back to Abraham's family, finds a bride whose name was Rebekah, and brings her home. Genesis chapter 24 and verse number 61, the Bible said, "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Laaroi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming." That's where the title to that great message come from. Verse 64, "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, 'What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?' And the servant had said, 'It is my master.' Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So a great many types are found here in Genesis chapter number 24. Like I said before, it is an Old Testament picture of the church as the bride of Christ, as the servant. The Holy Spirit goes out into the world, finds the bride, proposes to the bride, brings the bride home. All of that is a picture of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And so the servant is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Rebekah is a type of the bride or of the church. Abraham, being the one that sends his servant out into the to find a bride, Abraham is a type of God the Father. We probably know that from studying the Bible. And of course, Isaac in the Bible is the miracle son. He is the son that is born way past childbearing age. He is the son that is the only, the word only begotten in the Bible refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 John, it refers one time to one other person in the Bible, and it's referring to Isaac being the only begotten, the one and only one like him. There's no other like Isaac in the Bible or in the world. And so all of this is fulfilled in typology, or is pictures of these greater things. So I want to look tonight and notice some things from Genesis chapter number 24, and sort of along the same lines as what I preached this morning. I preached this morning on the subject of almost there. We in the church age, we in this day and time are almost there, according to the Bible. Preached out of Hebrews 10:37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. A little while. We're almost there. We're almost home. And so in Genesis chapter 24, in these verses we're going to look at tonight, I think about something along those same lines. I think about the last mile home. Almost home. That's what we were reading about in verse number 61 through verse number 67. All of this that takes place in these verses had to take place in the last mile home. Probably not even a mile, less than a mile. And Isaac sees the camels coming. He gets up. He goes out to meet them. They were almost home, and all these things happen in verse number 67. So I want to try to point out some things that's going on in Genesis chapter number 24. Now, the servant is never mentioned, but the servant does the will of Abraham. The servant does the will of the Father. And if you go back in chapter 24 to verses 2 through 4, I'll show you what I'm talking about. And Abraham is talking to his servant here. And his servant is never named in chapter number 24. And all that's a picture of the Holy Spirit, because let me tell you, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not to lift up the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to lift up and magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when he is come, when the Comforter is come, he shall speak of me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. If you hear a preacher, if you hear of a church, that all they talk about and all they glorify and all they magnify is the Holy Spirit, that's not of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit points out and leads people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter number 24 and verse number 2, the Bible said, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And so here the servant is commissioned by Abraham to go and to seek out and to find a bride for Isaac. He is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's exactly what he does. He goes back to Abraham's country that he came out of, and he begins to seek and to find a bride for Isaac. In fact, if you have a Scofield Bible, the heading in chapter 24 is that, a bride for Isaac. That's what it's about. And so let me point out some things about the last mile home. In order to get to the last mile home, there had to be, first of all, a decision that was made. Now, if you look in verse number 34, and there's a lot of verses in this chapter, you might have noticed that. There's 67 verses. And so that's a lot of things that are going on in this chapter. But there's a decision that has to be made. Verse number 34 down through verse number 36, the Bible said, "And he said, I am Abraham's servant." Now he comes to where Rebekah lives. And he begins to introduce himself and his business, what he is there for. Verse 33, he said, "I have told my errand." And he said, "Speak on." And so here's what his errand was. And he said, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds, and silver and gold, and men servants and maid servants, and camels and asses, and Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son." And I said unto my master, "Peradventure, the woman will not follow me." And so we're not going to get into all that. I hope you'll take time to read it later on. But the servant goes down there. And he comes among Abraham's kinspeople there. And he finds the ladies there. And he finds the people there. And he says, "This is why I'm here. I'm here to get a son or a bride for my master, for Abraham. Abraham's great and the Lord's blessed him. And I'm down here to do this." And so he makes the case and he says, "I've come to find a bride." And he tells about all of Abraham's wealth. And he tells about Isaac and how Isaac is going to inherit all of these things. And so the decision is put before Rebekah. She has to make a decision whether or not she's going to go with the servant. If you look down to verse number 58, look what the Bible says. "And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go." Now let me say tonight as we begin the message that all of us have to come to the place in our lives where we personally decide if we're going to go with the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Now, if you notice in this passage of Scripture, Rebekah's father didn't make the decision. Rebekah's mother didn't make the decision. Rebekah's brother is in this passage of Scripture. They're all around. They're all her family. They love her very much. But none of them makes the decision except for Rebekah. Now, in that day and time, I don't think that's the way they operated. Pretty much, the women didn't have a lot of say-so in what went on. But here, we find that they called Rebekah and they said, "Are you going to go with this man?" She made a decision. She said, "I will go." I'm thankful for the day the Holy Spirit of God, came to my heart, dealt with me about God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and brought before my heart and my mind, "Are you going to go with him or are you not going to go with him?" We've all got to make a decision. Are we going to go with this man or not? Are we going to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ or not? Our fathers, our mothers, our grandparents cannot decide for us. We have to decide for ourselves. Rebekah had to decide for herself. Let me tell you, she made the right decision. "I will go with this man." If you're here tonight and you have never been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you have got to decide for your own self. You've got to say, "I'll go with him." I'm going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I want Him to save me. Have you ever said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ? Has the Spirit of God ever dealt with your heart? And I do believe that tonight. The Spirit of God has got to present the Lord Jesus Christ to us. And when He does, we've got to say, yes, I will go. Takes the Spirit of God. We find that in typology. The servant had to come. The servant had to make the presentation, had to show her how great Isaac was. And then the decision had to be made by her. I will go with this man. Well, a lot of people, especially in our day and time, I think that that's about where they stop. You ever been saved? Oh yeah, I was saved. Saved when I was 9 or when I was 10, a long time ago. But it's not the Lord's will for us just to be saved. It is the Lord's will for us to go with this man. She had not only to decide, but she had to depart. She didn't say yes to Isaac and stay where she was. There's something fundamentally wrong with that if we say, yes, I said yes to the Lord Jesus, but I stayed where I was. She didn't stay where she was. She had to depart. She had to leave. She had to physically go with this man. She said in verse number 58, she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands, of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Verse 61, and Rebekah arose, and her damsels. And they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. There had to be a departure. After we say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to follow the Holy Spirit of God. We should follow. We should actually go with this man. Now, if we go back in this passage of Scripture just a little bit, you'll notice that Rebekah's family, her parents, her brother, those around her, they are a type of the world. They said, well, it's good that you're going, but we'd really like you to stay here a little bit longer. That's how the world is. Look back in verse number 55. Look what the Bible says. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days. At the least 10, after that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. You see what was happening there? The decision is made. Oh yeah, I'll go. But her mother, her brother said, well, now that's okay that you're going, just don't go now. I really believe that happens about all of us after we get saved. Well, it's all right if you're saved, just don't get too fanatical about it. Just like Pharaoh when the children of Israel wanted to go out of Egypt, and at first he said, well, you can go, just don't go very far. You can go just a few days, but just make sure you just come right back. See, we're not really very effective for the Lord Jesus Christ if we hinder our going with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we put off for days and months and years. Yes, I've said I will go, I just haven't went all the way yet. It's the Lord's will after we get saved that we go all the way as far as the Holy Spirit leads us to go. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to lead us to go far away from where we were when we first met the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to just stay right where we are. We need to go. We need to go with Him. There is a new people. There is a new land. There is a new place. But we've got to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. The world will always say, just stay a little bit longer. Just stay a few more days. You can always serve God when you get a little bit older, or when you retire, or when you get old and you don't have anything else to do. But I'm telling you, that's the world. But the call of the Lord Jesus is take up your cross and follow me today. Go today. Follow today. We need to follow the Holy Spirit. He's been there. Here's something sort of like what I said this morning. The Holy Spirit, the servant, he knows where he came from and he knows how to get back. And you know the good news? He knows how to get us there. He knows how to get us where we need to be. He's already been there. Now, if we were to take time to study this out, how far did they travel? I don't know exactly how far they traveled, but they departed on a long journey. Abraham's servant went all the way down there. He's going all the way back. This is a very long journey. It is a journey of hundreds of miles, weeks of travel. And as you see from the passage of Scripture, they traveled on camels. You know, they didn't just jump in the car and 6 hours later they were with Abraham. This journey was a long, what's that word? Arduous. Sometimes Kim says, where do you come up with these words? So one man said, I like to read the dictionary. The stories are short. A long, arduous journey. A hard, long journey is what they've got ahead of. They had to depart on that journey, and as with any journey, there is much time for discussion. There had to be a decision, there had to be a departure, and after the departure, there is discussion. I imagine in my mind that on this journey, many times Rebecca would maybe ask the question. I'm sure she would ask the question, now, I'd like for you, as we're traveling along, I'd like you to tell me about this Isaac. Ladies, don't you think if this was you, you'd want to know what you'd gotten yourself into? And since this man came from Abraham, came from Isaac, knows all about Abraham, knows all about Isaac, I believe with all of my heart, Rebecca spent a lot of time saying, tell me about him. Tell me about Isaac. I've said, you've sold me. I'm on the journey now. Tell me, I want to learn more about him. You know, when I get there, I'm probably want to cook something. What's he like to eat for breakfast? What's his favorite supper? You know, what time does he get up in the morning? How does he spend his days? You know, is he more of a farmer? Is he more of a carpenter? You know, what is he good at? What does he look like? If you were Rebecca, if you were the servant, you'd probably say, well, here she comes again. I'll be asking me all about Isaac. And the servant would have a great deal of things to tell her. Because Isaac is a very unique individual. And, you know, the servant could go all the way back and he could say, you know, I'll tell you this about Isaac. He's a miracle. Isaac shouldn't even be here. His mother was 9 years old when he was born. He's a miracle. I'll tell you something else. He shouldn't even be here. His father took him up on this mountain. God told him to go up there and sacrifice him. And Abraham took Isaac one time up on a mountain and laid him out on an altar and had a knife in his hand and was getting ready to sacrifice him there. And the Lord called and said, stay thy hand, you know, don't. And there was a ram caught in a thicket. And he had plenty of things to tell about Isaac. Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit of God has got plenty of things to share with us about the Lord Jesus Christ on our journey from here to the time that we meet him. When you get saved, you don't know much. But as you go along in your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ, what you find out is you'll never learn all about him there is to learn. When I was a young preacher, I used to worry about, will I have enough to find to preach on? You know, I preached my three messages of everything that I knew. I preached on being saved. I preached on serving the Lord. Preach on heaven, preach on hell. And I'd think, you know, how does these preachers find something to preach on? And now I've come to the place I realize I will not live long enough to preach through all the books of the Bible. You say, preacher, hurry up. I don't want to hurry up. I mean, I guess I could, just to say I could, but as I go through the Bibles, I want to do a good job. And you know what? If you think you know a lot about the Bible, you're not studying or reading very closely. I've been reading through the book of Psalms every morning. I'm reading, I say, I don't even know what that's talking about. I'd have to really sit down and study that out. Some of these things, the history, the words, the people, the places. I'll never live long enough. But thank God I've got eternity. Find out all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I go along this way, I'm still learning some pretty good things about Him. Still learning some things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that I'm smart and I dig it out and all like that, but the Holy Spirit of God, He'll turn the light bulb on every once in a while. Well, I like that. I like that. There's a lot of discussion along the way. There is a lot of discovery along the way. And there's much to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think in our day of technology and learning and all that, we're really missing out on some things the old time Christians knew about. They sang, "Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word." We don't have time for nothing. Boy, if we'd take time in the journey. Maybe there were some nights where Rebecca got maybe afraid and missing her family and thinking about her mother and thinking about her brother. You know who was right there? Eliezer. That's his name. It means the helper of God, the comfort of God. He's the type of the Holy Spirit. You ever get lonely in this world? You ever think the journey's long? Do you ever get afraid sometimes along the way? I'm glad the Comforter is there. I'm glad the eldest servant, the highest one, is there to help us, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, He's here to help us along the journey. I think of this servant as being the most congenial, comforting, helpful individual that you can imagine. I think of him as helping Rebecca every step of the way, whatever she needed, whatever she wanted, whatever question she wanted answered, whatever comfort she needed for her journey. I believe this servant was right there. And if you read and study all about it, it wasn't just him. There was a whole host of servants went, and there was a whole host of people came back. It was Rebecca and her damsels meet her need all along the way. He's the type of the Holy Spirit of God. I'll tell you something happened a few Sundays ago, and the Lord really gave me the answer, but what would you tell Uriah, Ashley and Curtis's son, after church or during the message I was preaching, and he looked up at Sister Ashley and he said, "What's the Holy Ghost? How old is he?" 2. Here they come after church. "Preacher, I've got a question. What's the Holy Ghost?" "Hey, what do you tell a 2-year-old? And the Lord spoke to my heart and I said, "Is anybody that you really love give you a hug? And it feels really good to you." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "The Holy Ghost is how God gives you a hug. And that satisfied him. And that helped me." You ever going along in this life and the journey is wearing on you and you're thinking, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
gonna be all right. That's the Holy Ghost of God. Coming along, giving you a hug, saying it's gonna be all right, you're gonna make it, I've got you, I'm with you every step of the way, I'm never gonna leave you, I'm never gonna forsake you. Now they're heading home, and she's learning more about Isaac every step of the way. We're headed home. We ought to be learning more about Isaac all along the way. But there's something else going on in this passage of Scripture, which I think is very interesting. In verse number 62, the Bible says this, "And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahai-roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming." We see Isaac deliberating there. Or the Bible says he went out to meditate. And so I think about this, you know, we think about going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I preached on that this morning. We ought to think about it more often than we do. I think we only think about the Lord coming when problems come sometimes. But we ought to think about it all the time. We ought to be reminded every day, today might be the day. Do you ever think about what it'll be like to go to be with Jesus? Well, have you ever thought about this? I think he thinks about what it's going to be like for us to go to be with him. The Bible says Isaac went out, verse number 63, Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time. If you are a young man and you know your bride is on the way, you don't know exactly how close or how far away that she is. You see, the Bible says in the New Testament that even Jesus doesn't know the hour nor the day. Lord Jesus, only the Father knows. I believe the Lord is looking forward to us as his bride being gathered together. That's what he was looking for. That's what he was thinking about. What would you be thinking about?
Rebecca's thinking about when am I going to meet him and what is he going to be like? Isaac's thinking the same thing. Boy, I hope she's pretty. Boy, I hope she can cook good. I hope she's got a good person. You know, this was out of his hands. This was in the Father's hands, delegated to the servant. How nervous would you be if two other men was involved in getting a bride for you? That's Isaac's position there. But here Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure Isaac is thinking, it's been a long time. What's she going to be back? When will she come? And then all of a sudden, one of those evenings, verse number 63, at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Isaac, best I can figure, he's at least 40 years old at this time. He's not an old man, but he's not a young man either. He's been around. He knows what went out. He sees the camels coming. Maybe said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep, that's more than went out. I believe he's been successful. He goes out to meet the bride. And guess what? He's going to come out to meet the bride one of these days. Praise the Lord. That's what that's a picture of. We find that the destination is finally reached in verse 64 and 65. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. The day finally came. They crossed the last desert. They crossed the last mountain, the last river, the last valley. And I think we think a lot of times, boy, we're never going to meet him. We're never going to see him. But we're going to see him one of these days. We're going to cross the last river, the last valley, the last mountain. And we're going to see him. The trump of God's going to sound, and there's going to be a great reunion. The destination was finally reached.
I want to point out two events that happened on the last mile home. First of all, in verse number 65, look what she did. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. She got ready. She got ready to meet. She knows she's getting ready to meet her husband. And so she does like any lady would do. I'm sure she combed her hair, fixed her, you know, all that stuff. Took a veil, covered herself. She got ready. There's a lesson there for us. We need to be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. He's coming to get us. The time is short. The time is at hand. He's going to quickly come one of these days. We better be ready now, because there's not going to be putting no lipstick on. There's not going to be no fessing up. What the old preachers used to say, better keep fessed up. Think about Preacher Arndt when I think about that. You better keep fessed up every day, ready to meet him. Tomorrow might be that day. Wouldn't that be good? I mean, that'd be all right for the Lord Jesus to come. She got ready to meet him. In verse number 64, the Bible said in the last part of that verse, she lighted off the camel. Now, there's a great picture right there. She lighted off the camel. The camels in the Bible are a type of the grace of God. Camels are very curious creatures. They're very unique creatures. There's no other creatures that can do the things that the camels can do. The camels are a type of the grace of God. The word camel means a burden bearer. One that bears a burden. I cannot carry the load, but the camel can. The grace of God can. We try to carry everything our own selves. You can't do it. She couldn't have carried. She couldn't have brought everything she needed. But the camels were able to do that. The camel can cross any desert in the world. If you remember about, and I preached on camels years ago. It's been probably when I was at Forest Grove. I preached a message or a series on the camels. The camel, you know, they got the two humps and the carry the water and all like that. They're the tractor trailers of the desert. They can get out there and cross the desert. That's why you see them in the desert. The camel has such a big hoof, it keeps him from sinking in the sand. It kept Rebecca out of and away from the world. She'd have never made the journey without the camel. If you and I don't stay out of the world, you never make the journey successfully. And let me tell you, it's only the grace of God that keeps you out of the world. Better be careful looking down on somebody else. You ever heard that saying? There, but by the grace of God, go I. You see somebody and it's a mess. If it wasn't for the grace of God, that could be you. It would be you. It would be me if it wasn't for the grace of God. There's no telling where I would be tonight. The camel kept her from sinking in the sand, kept her out of the world. The camel, when you're out on the desert and the sandstorms come, the camel can go on. The camel can close its nostrils. The camel can close its eyes. It doesn't bother the camel. But what they do when a storm comes, they get those camels down. They get them in a circle. They hunker down behind the camel, and the camel keeps them safe from the storm. The grace of God keeps the storms of this world from killing you.
We've all been there. How do you go through some of the things you go through? Just by the grace of God. That's the only way I can explain it. How do people make it in this world without the grace of God? The answer is they don't. They drug themselves. They drink themselves. And on and on I could go tonight. How do you make it without the grace of God? You don't. You don't with victory. But by the grace of God, when the storm comes, you can hunker down with the grace of God. And when the storm's over, you get up and go on. That's the grace of God. The camel is a type of the grace of God.
through the dangers, through the toils, and through the snares. I have already come. The camel carried her the whole journey. The camel carried her all the way home. When she met Isaac, she didn't need the camel anymore. I'm thankful tonight for the grace of God, but the day's coming when we're not going to need the grace of God like we need it now. Because we're not going to be in the same journey and in the same place that we are now. We're going to be with Him. And that's all we're going to need. The camel took her the whole journey. The grace of God will not fail us now. The grace of God will not fail us later. The Bible said in verse number 64, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. One of these days, the journey is going to be over. There'll be no more battles and no more storms and no more journeys and no more heartaches, and all those things will be gone forever because we will have reached our destination. And that's what she did. She met Isaac. Then the marriage was completed. This is what happens in verse number 67. And in those days, they didn't get married like we think about, you know, go to a church and a preacher and say the I do's and all like that. But this bringing her into his tent, the marriage was completed, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The Bible said that he loved her. He took her in. If you go back to verse number 63, there's something significant there. The Bible said, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide. This took place before dark. This marriage took place before dark. If you look back in verse number 11, look what the Bible says. The servant met Rebekah. Look what the Bible said. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening. Even the time that women go out to draw water. The servant met her in the evening before dark. She met Isaac in the evening right before dark. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 18, that the day of the Lord is darkness. Some people say, oh, we're going to go through the tribulation. No, we're not. But we are in the evening of this world. In fact, you met the Lord Jesus Christ in the evening. We're almost there. He's going to get us before dark. We're going to go. We're going to meet Him. We're going to be married to Him. We're going to be with Him. The Bible says, wherefore, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's coming for us. We're going to Him. It's going to happen before dark. Now, the world is getting darker. But that is exactly what happens in the evening. It gets darker. We're not. I wish there'd be a worldwide revival. I wish there'd be a countywide revival. I wish there'd be a churchwide revival. I think there's a possibility of that. But this world getting any brighter? It's not going to get brighter. It's going to get darker. Sometimes it seems like it gets darker a little faster. Sometimes it seems like, depending on the time of the year, that it lingers a little bit. But no doubt about it, it's getting darker in the world. But we're going home right before it gets real dark. Praise the Lord. She met Isaac in the evening. I believe we're on the last mile home. It'd be good for us to not just, well, one Sunday in January we thought about the Lord coming. Well, think about it way more often than that. He's coming. There's work to do. There's people to be witnessed to. If we're going to win them, we'd better win them quick. We better do all that we can to win them now, this year. I went to Lowe's yesterday, and you know, I feel like I should have rented an apartment over there this summer because every day I went to Lowe's or one of the other building supplies. I went to Lowe's and I went in there yesterday. I think it was yesterday. It was Saturday. And doing a little project at the house needed to be done, but really when we moved in, I was sort of sick of that and I needed a break. So I hadn't been to Lowe's in maybe a month. I went in there yesterday and I saw a girl that waited on me and helped me a few times, and it's like seeing an old friend. I said, "Hey, you remember me? You helped me." "Yeah, I remember you." And poor brother Andy Watson was in there at the paint section. I went up to him. I said, "Brother, I'm sorry. I'm praying for you. I've been here. I know what it's like." And Sister Lisa was over there picking out samples. He laughed. We laughed. We had a good time. But there's a lady in there. Kim and I have been in there several times and met this lady. And she just moved here from somewhere. And God laid on my heart. I said, "If I see that lady, I'm going to invite her to church." And guess what? Guess who checked me out? So I did. I invited her to church. Then on the way home, I got to thinking about it. We need to remember, inviting somebody to church is not the same as witnessing to them. It'd be good for them to come to church, but she may never come to church. That ain't the same as witnessing to somebody. And asking them, you know, going to church is great, but if you die, you know where you go. If you ever been saved, you ever been born again. That's what we need to be about the business of doing. And so, if I get the opportunity, I'm going to go back and say, "Hey, I asked you to church, but here's what I really want to know." But that's the business we need to be about doing, because I believe we're on the last mile home. I hope we're on the last mile home. Yeah, I want more grandchildren and all that stuff, but there's something better than that. And that's going to heaven to be with Jesus.
And so I ask us tonight, as we close up and finish, the church has been on a long journey. We've been headed home a long time, over 2,000 years now. Surely, surely we're in the last mile. Surely we're about to come around the corner. We have to be. We have to be. As we study and think about what the Bible says, we need to ask ourselves, am I ready to meet the heavenly Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you here tonight? Have you ever been saved? Are you sure that you're saved? Christians tonight, are you ready to meet Him? That's what we need to be asking ourselves. Are we busy about our Father's business? There's much to do as we think about meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for us tonight to have our heads bowed, our eyes closed. And I really appreciate your good attention this evening. And we're going to stand and sing a song together before we go. But there might be somebody here tonight. And maybe God spoke to your heart today. Maybe this morning, maybe tonight.